Okay, our next speaker is Dr. Ben Paulus, who is the Zollinger Professor of Surgery at The Ohio State University.
Dr. Sharp, Dr. Ellison, thank you for the opportunity and invitation to present here. I'm going to cover approaches to femoral hernia. A lot of us in the audience take care of inguinal hernias, and it's pretty straightforward in terms of our practice. But when we think about femoral hernia, it tends to kind of evoke a little bit of anxiety. These are my financial relationships. So the topics I'm going to cover today are the diagnosis of femoral hernia and some practical strategies for repair. Physical examination still remains the mainstay of diagnosis, and it's interesting to think about this in terms of physical examination in the office, but I would actually put out there that a lot of femoral hernias are actually diagnosed intraoperatively, and so we extend the concept of physical examination to our intraoperative assessment. Ultrasound is really helpful in the differentiation of a femoral hernia in the office compared to, say, something like a lymph node. Oftentimes, they can present and can have a physical exam very similar, and ultrasound certainly helps with that. CT, unlike in the situation in inguinal hernia where it's not particularly useful, femoral hernia can actually be quite useful when you see a kind of a bulging of fat next to the femoral vein. Strategies of repair in my practice are really based on the preoperative confidence in the diagnosis, and this dictates the approach of what I do. So if you kind of split this up into if you're confident about your diagnosis of femoral hernia, a crural or infrainguinal approach is actually a nice way to repair these, or a laparoscopy or a robotic approach. If you're not particularly confident in the diagnosis, most commonly in obese patients, an inguinal approach or an MIS approach I think suffice as well. The crural or infrainguinal approach hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but it's really actually a nice way to take care of femoral hernias when you're pretty confident of the diagnosis. Here on screen left, you see a bulge on line B there, and you can actually make a fairly small incision over the area, just like you're doing a femoral vessel approach, and cut down to the femoral hernia sac itself. The plate on the right from our Zollinger Atlas, it kind of shows wide exposure. You don't need this much exposure for the crural approach, and that's the beauty of it. You can actually repair these in a fairly small incision. The key is cutting down directly to the sac, and as in most femoral hernias, there's a lot of contents protruding through the hernia. You often have to release the inguinal ligament to reduce the femoral hernia contents. The repair itself, some technical points about that. You want to make sure you leave a bit of tissue between the hernia itself and the medial aspect of the femoral vein. These are repaired nicely with a plug with three fixation points medially, superiorly, and inferiorly. Obviously, you want to avoid fixation near the vein. This is the MIS approach. It's a laparoscopic approach. Patient I took care of in Nashville about a year ago. We suspected that she had a femoral hernia. And very characteristic of femoral hernias, so what you see here is that we're reducing the femoral hernia. This hand-over-hand technique really helps reduce the hernia itself. And as we're reducing this, you'll see Cooper's ligament come into view just on the screen right view there. And again, very characteristically, these are really, really difficult hernias to reduce because the whole, the actual hernia tends to be fairly small. Oftentimes, you'll have a little bit of ooze. Don't go after that. One nice trick about taking care of that is you can take a Raytec or a cottonoid and push it into the defect and just kind of tamponade things there. One technical aspect of the repair, you want to make sure you have plenty of medial overlap. You do need to mobilize the bladder well away from the pubic ramus to ensure that medial overlap of your mesh. This is a patient I just took care of in Columbus a couple of weeks ago who had a femoral hernia that we didn't suspect. Here's the preperitoneal fat. It's also a left-sided femoral hernia. One maneuver that helps you reduce this is taking a hook bovie and basically putting it onto the superior aspect of the defect, and then you aim superior and medially towards rectus muscle, and you can release the femoral hernial opening to then facilitate reduction. The inguinal approach, here's the easy way to do it. This is, again, a left-sided approach. So the typical approach you'd use to start an inguinal hernia repair. Here we're exposing the reflection of the inguinal ligament. And so all we're doing here is just basically palpating for the femoral artery, taking your finger and going medially, and then you can easily palpate the femoral space. So you haven't opened up the external oblique. You're checking for a femoral hernia. If you don't find one, you can proceed on with your inguinal repair as usual. If you find one, you can use an approach similar to the crural approach to repair these. The not-so-easy way is the traditional way of approaching a transinguinal repair of a femoral hernia, and that is you expose the floor, incise the floor as you might for a direct defect, and then you do have to expose Cooper's ligament. And the way this will feel when you expose Cooper's ligament, when you open up the transverse talus fascia, is you will feel a band of tissue going underneath the inguinal ligament, and that's the neck of the femoral hernia sac. And you often have to insert a small right angle underneath the inguinal ligament, incise the inguinal ligament to release it, and then reduce the femoral hernia. And the important technical point here, in an elective setting at least, is you need to place preperitoneal mesh well covering the covering Cooper's ligament to cover the entire myopectinal orifice. So in conclusion, the confidence of your diagnosis really dictates your operative approach, in my opinion. If you take care of inguinal hernia patients, certainly you should have a strategy for addressing femoral hernias. And finally, I'll end by saying that a loss in Nashville for football is very different than a loss in Columbus, and I'm learning this. Thank you. Go Bucks.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the audience? So, Dr. Paulus, tell us what you would do with a suspected strangulated. I see you. We'll get you to one second. A strangulated femoral hernia in an obese patient.
Yeah.
Retinitis, cellulitis over the hernia, toxic patient.
Right. In those difficult situations, I think you have to kind of base it on what's available to you and what your own experience is. In those particular patients, I think you have to do one of two things. You certainly have to assess the bowel and to make sure that if there is incarcerated bowel, it's strangulated. You have to take care, diagnose, and treat that appropriately. Laparoscopy is a really good way to approach that in terms of the diagnosis, and then you can actually do the resection lap-assisted. As far as the repair, I would not. If you do have a situation where you have a dead bowel, I would repair that actually with some type of either absorbable mesh at the time and come back later and stage the repair. If you did that open, a transinguinal approach is also a reasonable way to do that, but you have to be prepared to deal with the repair either by a tissue approach or with an absorbable mesh and stage it later.
Thank you. In the microphone in the back.
Good morning. E.R.A. James, Southern Ohio. How would you approach a patient cirrhotic, a lot of ascites with symptomatic inguinal hernia, and maybe femoral?
So those I actually
find intraoperatively.
So those I actually refer back to Nashville to Dr. Sharp, who I tell is the expert in those particular patients. Obviously, in those patients, they're very, very challenging scenarios. So certainly the risk of repairing those hernias in those particular patients is exceedingly high. I think if you do not control the ascites, this is going to be a disastrous situation. So in the instance where you deem that the symptoms are severe enough for an elective repair, you have to get their ascites under control medically first, and then you can start talking about the repair, which in and of itself will be a very risky proposition. But in those instances, I approach those open, actually. Thank you.